Hello guys, and welcome to the Lean with Plants podcast. I'm Chelsea, former overweight, healthy vegan, confused about why I couldn't look like my favorite plant-based influencers, even though I was chugging back green smoothies every day. After a decade of unsustainable vegan diets, I learned the truth about weight loss, lost 40 pounds, and now I'm in the best shape of my life, even after two kids. Girl, if you've been struggling to drop the pounds as a vegan, stuck in a cycle of self-sabotage, sick of yo-yo dieting and going hungry, never being able to get and stay lean, then this is the podcast for you. Each week, I share the no BS truth about why vegan women are overweight, the action steps to get you shedding fat, and the mindset you'll need to get slim for life. I'm stoked to have you here. Let's get started.
What's up, my beautiful friend? Welcome back to the Lean with Plants podcast.
I'm so freaking stoked and excited that you are here. I feel like it's been such a long time since I've done an episode, like a proper actual episode that is not an interview or a live replay, and I'm out of breath because I've just been dancing to try and pump myself up because, as weird as it seems, talking into a microphone with no one else around does your head in a little bit. What we're going to talk about today is the things that I would tell myself if I could go back to the very beginning, if I could start with 40 pounds of extra fat on me, what would I do? What would I focus on? The point of this episode is to help you understand what you need to know to get started on your weight loss journey. And if you've been doing this for a little bit of time, maybe just take it back to the basics, because these are the things that I keep bringing it back to. They're the things that I have to remind myself when I want to see more progress. And you can use these kind of concepts in really any area of your life. So I guess I'm a lifestyle blogger now and I can talk about anything I want. So let's do this. So before I started eating the way that I do now and how I learned about habits and ditching perfectionism and all of these things, got consistent with my diet and lost the 40 pounds, I struggled with my weight for pretty much a decade. I was skinny for my entire childhood, and when I was about 16, 17, I was eating really unhealthy. I mean, I was at school and my friend and I would go down to the local dairy, which is like a little corner store, that's what we call them in New Zealand, and we'd get squiggles, which are these biscuits, cookies, whatever you want to call them. Oh my goodness, the terms. And they were just covered in chocolate, very, very high calorie. We'd buy chips and chocolate and lollies, sit down in the playground and eat these like all the time, every day, pies, all this stuff that you just waste your money on when you're a teenager. Started to see a little bit of weight gain, wasn't really too concerned about it. And I don't know what it was that flipped for me, but I got to this point where I realized if I actually want to get slim again, and if I want to get rid of this little baby belly that I was developing, then I would have to probably eat healthy. I got really interested in health. I started to learn a little bit more about nutrition. Unfortunately, I didn't understand anything from a concept base, and that's why I'm so obsessed with it now. So it was very much based on rules, do this because it's going to be healthy for you, with no explanation as to why that actually was. The problem with it, and I started off reading a book which I think was called, no, it wasn't Fit for Life, but it was something similar, where you were meant to eat one meal a day raw. I remember being 16 and trying this at school, and I packed my lunchbox. I had a Spider-Man lunchbox, just so you know, at 16, yeah, weirdo. Packed that full of bananas and pears and all this different fruit, and tried to have that as lunch, and I was absolutely starving. First of all, I couldn't eat it all because it was so much food, and I was freaking starving. It's funny though, because at that point you'd go, maybe eating raw for you at this point in your life, I know it works for some people, but maybe I should have gone, okay, that's not really going to work for me, but I didn't. I got really involved in the raw movement. I found people who were very involved in promoting a completely raw diet, And this wasn't at 16, this was a few years later. And it seemed like the answer to me, because the idea of being able to eat as much food as I wanted, no matter what that was, I love fruit, I love smoothies and oranges, that seemed like a dream come true. And if I could look like these girls who were promoting this raw way of eating, then that would be the ultimate for me. And so from that point, I started to get fixated in my head, and it was a lot of things that led to this, and a lot of them was just the way that diet was portrayed to me, that was, if I followed these rules, if I followed the rules to a T, like these people were, then I would have the results that they did. And that was what I thought would happen. My biggest struggle was really having no idea how weight loss works, because I was so obsessed with this idea of raw, and I thought that it was about following the rules. I thought, okay, so if I follow these rules completely, I'll get the results. I didn't understand that the results happened because those people got into a calorie deficit, and the calorie deficit caused them to burn stored fat cells, and there was many ways to do that. I had come from, after I got really involved in the raw ideology, I'd come from just portion control and portion restriction, and felt how terrible that was. And I thought that this really felt like the answer, because it was eating so much food. And I guess, as sometimes happens with humans, when you've tried one thing and that doesn't work for you, which was portion control for me, because I did it in an extreme way, and portion control doesn't normally work very well either, because we tend to eat a consistent amount of food. I went on this pendulum swing where I was like, okay, so the real way to lose weight is eating a raw diet. And because the portion control didn't work for me, the kind of eating what everyone else was eating, the moderate, which was not moderate, let's be honest, it wasn't, I thought, okay, so this is going to work. When I look back at it, the reason that I got so dug in here was because I thought I was special. I would see more kind of regular vegan influencers and people online who were eating things like beans and potatoes and rice and guacamole. And I thought that if I was to eat that way, or when I ate that way, that I wouldn't lose weight. I think I'd convinced myself in my head that I tried moderate methods of weight loss. I tried to eat a normal kind of healthy diet, and that hadn't worked for me. In reality, I'd never gotten consistent with any kind of moderate, healthy diet with a ton of veggies or anything like that. And it's funny, because when I first started this channel and I started this podcast, I really wanted to help women lose weight. And I thought that the biggest reason that they couldn't was because they had misinformation about weight loss, that the methods that they were using were the wrong kind of methods. And while I still hold that to be true, what I've since discovered from talking to hundreds of women and actually getting perspective on my own life was it was because I couldn't stick to those moderate methods. And I was so convinced that I was special, that some reason my metabolism was different to the people I saw online or people that use these kind of moderate methods. I thought that I was special, and I thought there's no way that just eating healthy is going to work for me. I've got to take it a step further. This has got to be a bit more extreme, because my body is different to other people's bodies. Maybe you relate to this. Maybe you're listening and you're like, you know, I actually feel a little bit like that as well. I didn't have an understanding of what moderate meant. I mean, it's such a vague term anyway. Like, I'm going to get into some concrete terms a little bit later on. But I didn't understand why weight loss worked or didn't work. So I just saw some people doing extreme things and they had extreme results. And then I saw other people doing moderate things and they were already skinny. And I was like, well, you know, I suffer with this, and I used to, I was overweight and I did this, and now I've got to run a mile, no, not a mile, like 10 miles every single day, and I've got to eat 30 million bananas every single day, because that's what this person did and they had this amazing transformation, or that's what this person does and she's skinny as heck, so I'm going to do that because I want that. They've had a transformation, or they've come out the other side, they're doing this, I want that result. And so I was just so convinced that I had to follow exactly the blueprint of someone else to get the kind of results. And I thought, because I was special, because my metabolism was slower, that that would need to be something extreme. And that's why I was so entrenched in the raw movement. And I did that cycle for many, many years. When my daughter Morgan was born, who is now 3 years old, little sweet honey bun, I could not face going raw again. The thing that was really an issue for me was it was winter, and it's really hard to eat fully raw and eat cold smoothies when you want to just be having a warm, comforting bowl of soup because it's freezing and the fire is on. And I'd already done that before. This was my second baby. I was at my heaviest weight ever, and I was like, stuff it. I can't handle this again. So I went looking on the internet and I found the potato reset. Somehow I found Chef AJ, and she was talking about calorie density. And I watched all these videos and I Googled the potato reset so many freaking times. I joined the Facebook group that they have for that, and I just trolled it for testimonies. And it's so funny when I look back, because, man, I just wanted to lose that weight fast. I was so obsessed with seeing whether it would be, I was like, I can do anything for a month if I can lose 10 pounds in a month. I will do literally anything. I will take a tapeworm. I was almost at that point. Guys, maybe you can relate to. So at this point, I'm still in that mindset of I'm special, that I've got a problem, my body is broken, so I'm going to have to do something extreme. Calorie density made sense to me. It made sense to me that there were some foods that were just higher in calories. I had a bit of a light bulb moment where I realized that all of these healthy foods that I was eating, that I would alternate between raw and then like a very, very decadent coconut cream curry, were high in calories. So it was no wonder that it was super hard for me to lose weight. And I was looking at the kind of meals that I would cook, and they weren't unhealthy meals. I had big salads and things, but I wasn't getting full on low calorie foods like vegetables. And I remember looking at how many zucchini I could eat for 100 calories. I was like, freaking heck, I'm just going to buy a ton of zucchini. So it made a lot of sense to me. And then I decided that I was going to do the potato reset and basically eat potatoes and vegetables for a month. The biggest reason that I decided to go down that route was because I still thought that my metabolism was broken. I was still convinced that it was going to be harder for me. So I thought something quite extreme, like the potato reset, which is not even completely designed to be a weight loss program. It's about resetting your taste buds as well. I wasn't interested in that. I just wanted to lose the weight. Let's be honest. Bought the ebook, did that. Guys, I cannot tell you how much trepidation I had over eating potatoes at lunch and in the morning when I'd been eating smoothies for breakfast for pretty much a decade. And in that first month, I lost about 8 pounds, and it was shocking to me. And I was so scared of doing things wrong. I was so scared of mucking it up, and I really, really wanted to have the results. I remember being so obsessed with, like, how many potatoes should I actually be eating? How many potatoes are too many? All the kind of questions that I hear people talking about now. All the kind of things that don't make a huge impact, because it was such an improvement from my old diet. It was moving me in the right direction. But it was a scary process. And even when I'd lost that first 8 pounds, and I decided to get a little bit more lenient, I was still pretty strict, guys. I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of people will say, well, I eat like you and I'm not losing weight. And the way that I eat now is pretty different to how structured and strict I was in the beginning. And mostly that is because my desperation was just high. I was in a state where I was just desperate to lose that weight quickly. And I'm not like that now. I don't feel the need to do that. So, and I also did not have a huge problem there with an all-in, all-out cycle. I was living away from town, and I didn't have access to a whole lot of different foods. I couldn't just go to the shops and buy sushi or buy coffee or, I'm just talking about stuff that I do now, buy burgers or buy Twinkies or Oreos or anything like that. So it wasn't very difficult for me to stick to that on a concept level. And I was so desperate, and I was so committed to eating potatoes and vegetables for a month. And then over the course of the next couple of years, bringing us up to today, I still use those exact same concepts. I added a whole lot more variety into my diet, a lot more vegetables, whole grains, fruits. Definitely the occasional treats. I think people have this perception that I never eat them. I do eat treats. I find it easier for myself when I limit those, and I especially limit them in my environment. We'll talk about that a little bit more. So it's a little bit of a kind of a crazy extreme story of going from someone who was convinced that they had to eat raw. And I have people all the time telling me, oh, your diet is so restrictive. I'm like, dude, I have had so much more restriction in my life. I feel so much freedom when it comes to my food choices. And the best thing for me is I don't go hungry. And those food choices are made out of empowerment. I decide when I'm going to eat a cake and when I'm not. And I'm not controlled and compelled by hunger and the need to be perfect anymore, which is incredibly freeing. So that's the setup to where we are now. And there's about five things that I think are vitally important when you're starting your weight loss. And if you have stalled in your weight loss, or you've been doing some of these things or working away on your journey and you want to come back to the basics, these are the five things that if I could go back in time to the very beginning when I was struggling with my weight, when I was eating raw, or to the very beginning when I did that potato reset and I understood this, these are the things that I would tell myself. And these are the things I'm going to tell you. Number one is to understand calories in, calories out, and that to lose weight, you must be in a calorie deficit. If you've listened to any of the podcasts before, or you follow me on YouTube or Instagram, you know that I'm always banging the same drum. Maybe you're sick of it. Maybe you're like, man, she goes on about this a lot. Guys, if I had understood this concept, it would have cleared up so much confusion for me. It would have gotten me asking the right questions. At the most basic and fundamental core of all weight loss is a calorie deficit. And that just means that you are burning and using up more calories than what you are eating. There is no diet on the planet that will get you losing weight, irrespective of a calorie deficit. So I was convinced that rules got me results, that it was the raw that got me results. So every time I ate something that wasn't raw, I thought I'd broken the spell and I was going to gain weight. That sent me on a binge cycle. It made me feel like I'd failed. And so I never saw consistent results eating that way because I was so obsessed with following those rules. It doesn't matter what it is, whether you are doing keto, whether you are on a high carb, low fat diet, or a high fat, low carb, from hell diet, intermittent fasting, detox, teas, whatever it is, the only way to lose weight is in a calorie deficit. And the only way that those things work is if and only if they get you into a calorie deficit. There's two main reasons that I know that the calories in, calories out model is 100% true and accurate. The first one is that this is the standard that any kind of weight loss study will use to determine whether it is effective or not. So what I mean by that is this. When studies are comparing, let's say, keto diet, how many pounds someone lost on a keto diet versus how many pounds someone lost on a plant-based diet, what they will look at is calorie for calorie, who burnt more fat. The standard of figuring out whether a diet even works or not and comparing that with other diets is how those diets work, comparing calories for calories, whether that person is in a calorie deficit, how it helps them get into a calorie deficit. When they're both in a calorie deficit, what saw more weight loss and why? So for example, in this idea of comparing a keto diet with a plant-based diet, there was a study that was done that found that people burnt more fat, same amount of calories, on a plant-based diet. If you accept this as scientific law, which it is, the energy cannot be created or destroyed, it has to go somewhere, then it starts to allow you to ask the right kind of questions that are going to actually get you losing weight long term. Those are questions like, how could I reduce my calories? What kind of foods can I eat more of while reducing my calories? How can I make sure that I am eating less calories than what I was previously? How do I shift this balance? If you don't understand and acknowledge that this concept is true, you're going to be always going between fad and fad, depending on how good their before and after pictures are and how compelling their sleazy marketing is. Like this ad that I saw the other day where a girl was saying, the reason that most people can't lose weight is because they are not eating for their metabolic type. Do this quiz, find your metabolic type, and then it's all going to become easy. I'm like, please, weight loss is hard enough. It's hard enough to say no to pizza. Why are you making this so confusing for us and so confusing for the millions of people that watch that ad by telling them there's something mysterious about weight loss? Guys, anyone who tells you that there is something mysterious about how weight loss works is either incredibly misinformed or, I believe, intentionally lying to you. I think a lot of people are just misinformed and they're married to their rules, they're married to their dogma when it comes to things like the only reason that a raw diet works is because it's a raw diet. Do you know what is so interesting? Because the raw diet was actually founded by someone called Dr. Doug Graham, and he wrote a book called 80-10-10. And I actually respect the guy. I think that the raw diet can work for some people. He's got some logical points that he makes. The funny thing is, a lot of people read that book and joined the raw movement, but he states unequivocally in that book that the main reason that people lose weight is because they lower their calories. He talks about the average amount of calories you'd think to be eating on a raw diet. Spoiler alert, for women, it's under 2,000 calories. I did an interview with Robbie from Mastering Diabetes last week, and I know that he eats a completely raw 80-10-10-like diet, and he is absolutely thriving on it. It works for him. It's really helped him to manage his type 1 diabetes. So I don't want to knock any of these things, but what I do want to point out to you is that when someone takes hold of a concept or an idea and they place a dogmatic way of looking at that and they create some kind of system that is rule-based without understanding the core principles of it, then it's very confusing. And we buy into those kind of things because it's seductive. It's seductive to think taking a test is going to solve all your problems and just eating to your metabolic type, because we all know what it's like to struggle with losing weight. And if there is something that we don't know about currently that can be positioned as the secret, I mean, there's even a book called The Secret. We're not even going to get into what I think about law of attraction or any of that kind of stuff. Anyway, probably going to burn a lot of bridges here. The whole point that I'm trying to make to you is understand where these things come from, how they fit into actual scientific evidence. You don't have to read a ton of different books. Literally just understanding that you need to burn less calories. Eat less calories than you burn. Why do I keep saying this? Eat less calories than you burn. Shift that balance so that you can get into a calorie deficit. That is a number one principle that you need to understand when it comes to fat loss. Okay, so number two, and I want you to listen up carefully, my dear friend who is struggling to lose weight or on a weight loss journey, that I was not broken. This is something I wish I could go and tell myself, and I really think it probably applies to you as well. You're probably not broken. I was not special. That held me back for so long because I thought being special meant that I needed extreme, that I needed something different. I thought that I couldn't change, that I was stuck, that I was different, that I alone had less willpower, that I alone couldn't develop these habits, that a healthy plant-based diet wouldn't work for me alone. Poor little victim me. And if you're listening to this and you feel that, and I know a lot of you do because I read the comments, I get these DMs every single day of women saying, I can't do this. And this was so abundantly apparent to me a few weeks ago going into a launch with Lean of Plants. The doors open, we're open for enrollment. And I realized that the thing that was holding people back from joining Lean of Plants was not that they thought the program wasn't great and that like that the program wasn't helpful. It was that they didn't think that they were capable of change. Either that was because they didn't think that they could create routine and habits and they tried so many things, or because they thought, well, I'm going through menopause, or I've got PCOS, or I've got a medical condition, or I've dieted for my whole life, or I've done keto, or whatever it was. Every single person on the planet thinks that they are special and that their circumstance is going to hold them back. I'm not every single person. But when you're stuck in that mindset, it will hold you back like nothing else, because you think you need extreme methods, or you start to think that there's no hope. Both of those things are not true. For most women, we're going to look at some actual statistics here. For most women, to get into a calorie deficit, they're going to need to eat between 1600 and 1800 calories to be in a 500 calorie deficit. And I did a YouTube video on this, which you can go and check it out. And I'm pretty sure I've talked about it in podcast as well. So that means that the average amount of calories that most women need is about 2,400 calories. So this is obviously an average. And the study that I'm referring to here looks at just under 400 women ranging from 18 to I think about 70. I don't have the notes in front of me. I didn't put that into my outline, but from what I recall, and the funny thing is that everyone thinks they're in this very low bracket of how many calories they need to eat. Like they say, okay, well, yep, so most women need to be in this range, 1600 to 1800 calories, but I'm at 1200 or I'm at 1000 because I've done everything and I still don't lose weight. I eat perfectly and I'm eating 1000 calories and I never lose weight. I mean, I've talked about this in other episodes and I think this is a huge topic for another one, so I'm going to leave that there. But from a statistical standpoint, the more that number goes down of how many calories you need to maintain your weight, the less amount of women are in that category. So for statistical purposes, the amount of women that will maintain their weight and need to eat under 1,400 calories a day is none. It's zero. There aren't. So if you're thinking that to lose weight and or even just maintain your weight, that you have to eat somehow like less than 1,200 calories a day, it's just not statistically accurate. And maybe you're the exception, but maybe you actually are the norm where you think you're the exception. And it's much more like the multitude of studies that have been done where people overestimate their movement and how many calories they burn and then underestimate their actual calorie consumption by about 40%. That's the average that people underestimate their calorie consumption. This is even looking at people who are dietitians and nutritionists and even people who track their calories. We're notoriously bad at getting an accurate calorie number. I could talk about calories until the cow's going home. Guys, I'm stumbling over my words here, and I'm so passionate about this and I want to get it out. I'm going to keep it in because it factors into my last point, and we're going to talk about perfectionism. So to recap, point number two: you are probably not broken. You are probably not special. You are capable of change. This is me talking to myself, and I'm also talking to you. If you continue to hold on to this, you are holding on to a victim mentality, and you're probably going to be held back for a long time. Guys, even if there is something special and something wrong with you, if you don't think there is, you're going to get a lot further ahead than if you do. Number three, practical. The easiest way to reduce your calorie consumption, coming back to number one, is using calorie density. It's eating more vegetables. It's ditching oil, eating less cashew cream, eating less processed vegan junk food, eating less coconut cream. So you've got here a spectrum of foods. You can Google right now, stop this podcast, do a Google search on calorie density. You're going to see so many charts that so many people have made. I've even got ones out there about how different foods have different amounts of calories for the weight that's in them. And that's all calorie density means. It means that you could pick up a pound of vegetables and that's going to be about 100 calories, and you could pick up a pound of potato chips, and that's going to be about 3,000 calories. So for the same amount of weight, you've got vastly different amounts of calories. So this is why eating less is not the answer, because even if you're eating less, you can be eating more calories than someone that is eating double the amount of food as you. And this has been shown in multiple studies as well. People can half their calories while doubling their food consumption. And this was the game changer for me. I got really good at eating a ton of vegetables, and it's the thing that's kept my weight loss off. My weight off. Oh, guys, you gotta love me, right? You gotta love the stumbling, mumbling chows. So I found these little charts. I got the concept pretty clear in my head. Okay, the highest calorie foods on the planet are oil. And then I saw, all right, it's things like breads, it's things like nuts, it's things like anything dried. If I can eat on this lower end of the spectrum and I put my diet so that I'm eating so many vegetables, like I said, I got really good at eating like a buttload of zucchini, then I'm going to be reducing my calories. And so that's what I did. I just started cooking in a different way. I went from having a side salad and a ton of leafy greens to actually putting a ton of grated carrot and cauliflower and celery into my bolognese. Not just having a little tiny side of broccoli, but actually cooking my curry with a ton of broccoli and a ton of beans, as in like string beans, and I'd put potato in there, and I would cook it without oil, and I would ditch the coconut milk, and I'd be putting in some soy milk. It really was just an experiment for me of how can I take this meal and make it less calorie dense by swapping out the high calorie foods for a lot more low calorie foods. And guys, it's just kind of as simple as this. The thing that was key for me was that I was able to get consistent, but that's what I did. I lowered the calorie density until I got into a calorie deficit, and I kept doing that. And when my weight loss slowed, I did it again. I swapped out a few of the other high calorie things. I realized, okay, I'm eating cookies a bit more than I should. I'm going and being a bit too free on the weekends. I'm going to cut my calories back by getting more consistent. And so that's how I dealt with plateaus. And I wish I could have told myself that in the beginning. And I wish I could have just said, Charles, you don't have to get everything right, but please eat some more vegetables. Please aim high. We tell our members in Lean with Plants to aim for 1 to 2 pounds of veggies a day. Does not matter. Cooked versus raw weight, that roughly is equivalent to 2 broccoli heads. So eat a broccoli head at lunch, eat a broccoli head at dinner, and you'll be lowering the calories of your meal, lowering the calorie density, I should say. But this is the habit that has really kept the weight off for me, is that I just cook this way now. It's how I eat. It's autopilot. I don't even have to think about it. The way that I cook has just drastically changed since learning about calorie density. Number 4 is get your home environment and your home routine on point. So what I mean by this is I just see so many questions where people are, and myself the same, I was so worried about what would happen when I went out and what I would eat when I was away from home. And I never even got my home environment great. I never even got that sorted. I never got a routine with when I was going to eat and when I was going to be hungry. So I was constantly in the lurch, leaving the house, didn't have breakfast, super hungry, ended up buying Subway cookies, all of this stuff. I didn't have a home environment and a home routine that kept me on track when I was there. So in Lean with Plants, we talk about what's your core environment. So your core environment's going to look different depending on who you are, where you are, lifestyle. For some of you, your core environment is probably going to be your workplace. It's going to be where you eat the majority of your meals. For a lot of other people, it will be at home, especially at the moment when we've got this global pandemic going on. So thinking about how do I get my home environment and my home routine to support my change. And that's what I would have said. James Clear has a great quote in his book Atomic Habits. He says, environment is the hidden hand that shapes human behavior. So if you can set up your environment in a way that helps you stay on track, so that when you open the fridge, okay, my veggies are right there. Like I can go into my fridge right now and I have this huge container of chopped up broccoli. So if I want to go and have a side of broccoli, all I have to do is put that in the steamer. I've got packets of rice in the cupboard. Yeah, they have a little bit of oil. I'm not worried about it. But those little packets of rice are going to keep me eating a starch and veg for lunch when I haven't got anything else cooked up. I'm setting up my environment to make it easy. I'm removing the obstacles to my consistency. And that's something I wish I could have told myself in the past. These are like your tips for getting started. And they're great tips for getting back to basics, if I do say so myself. And number 5 is choosing progress over perfection. And I see this a ton. I have struggled with perfectionism. I'm a recovering perfectionist. And I think sometimes we use that as a little bit of a badge of honor. I definitely know that I have, if I'm being honest, where I'm like, oh, I'm a perfectionist. And we kind of use that, like we're not ashamed of it. Whereas you'd never say, oh, I'm lazy. You know, because it's got a negative connotation. But I really think that perfectionism will hold you back more than anything else. And we can all become less of a perfectionist. We can make that messy, imperfect journey towards becoming less of a perfectionist. And so in this instance, choosing progress and seeing progress as a win rather than whether you're following the rules completely would be massively helpful. And I wish I could have seen this and done this at the start of my weight loss journey and been just a little bit more, there's a motorbike. Oh, there's always motorbikes. It would have helped me a lot. And that's why I'm leaving all this crap in here, because I just want you guys to know that you can get to where you want to go without needing to be perfect. I don't need to make perfect podcast episodes. See what I mean? Like, it doesn't have to be perfect, guys. It does not have to be perfect. I just want to grab you by the shoulders. I'm going to just imagine this right now. I'm grabbing you by the shoulders. I'm just shaking. I'm saying, it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't. And this is the one that I've just seen massively, massively impact people's lives since joining Lean with Plants, because they come in and they're thinking, okay, I'm going to have to follow this meal plan exactly, and I'm going to have to do all these principles and do all these things and learn everything. And they come in, it's like, no, you don't have to. You literally, to get to your goal, you have to make a tiny, tiny amount of progress, messy progress at that. Because for some people, for most of us, progress is going to look like, oh, oops, I had a huge blowout. I had a huge binge. I am going to eat an okay meal after that. That's going to be progress. Guys, I had this revelation one time because I was working in a cafe. This used to be my life a couple of years ago, working in a cafe. And there was some stuff that happened there. Like, I mean, we were just always making mistakes. I was always failing and mucking up on something. As you do, it's a huge learning curve. And I had this revelation. I was like, when I make a mistake, when I cook something and it turns out just terrible, or I forgot to put baking soda in the scones, or like that cake just turned out awful, or I forgot to turn the extractor fan on and nearly burnt down the place. That did not happen. But all of these things, it teaches you, or it taught me that I had a choice in those instances. Recover quickly, use that as a learning experience, or feel down on myself. The reality is that successful people fail often because they try often. If you want to become successful at getting and staying lean, you are going to have a lot of failure along that journey. You are not going to get that perfect with a snap of the fingers or ever. So if you can prioritize progress, and for a lot of you, it is really going to be getting better with failure, dealing better with failure. Remember, better is a spectrum. Better is always a spectrum. It is not right or wrong. It is not good or bad. It is just a better. And that can be an infinitesimal step. I wanted to use that word. It means small. Choose progress. Choose to be okay with failure being a part of it, and that will stop a lot of this swinging from great to terrible, feast or famine. And I could have really used this when I would just go from so, so great, so perfect, or so I thought, to binging and just sneaking food and like, guys, there's a story of me. This podcast's gone on forever, but I'm going to tell the story. I remember it was the night before the start of the new year, and my husband and I went out to a New Year's Eve party, and I knew that the next day I was going to try another raw stint, and I was like, this is it, I'm getting serious this time, I'm never going to eat processed food again. And I got home at like 11 o'clock, and I think I ordered a pizza, when I ordered a curry or something like that, and I ate the whole thing, and I was not even hungry. And the reason that I did was I was so convinced that tomorrow I was going to be perfect, and that was my last time. And I wish I could have just given myself some grace and be like, it's probably not going to be the last time. Like, get okay with progress. You don't have to get this perfect, because accept that you will have some failure, and then just make a little bit of progress. And I wouldn't have done this constant and all out cycle. Anyway, I hope that this has been helpful for you. Those five things that I've talked about today, if you use these very, very simple, some of them practical, some of them more concept-based, if you use these to propel you into the start of your weight loss journey or to bring you back to what matters, that I'm glad that it helps you. That's the point of it. Maybe share this with someone who is struggling in their weight loss. They don't understand why they're not losing, or their story sounds familiar to this. Maybe they can relate. Maybe that's you as well. I love hearing your feedback. It means the world to me to hear your feedback. So if you did like this episode, please give me a little review and write something about what you thought of the podcast. It so helps to get the message out to more people. I've got this goal that I really would like to get to 1,000 reviews. We're sitting at about 500. 1,000 reviews by the end of the year. So if you want to help in that, it would be awesome. Thank you so much for listening. I will talk to you guys next week. And remember, as always, even though I've never said this before, prioritize progress. You can do this. You are not a failure. You are capable. You are smart. You are strong. You are kind. You are beautiful. You got this. All right. See you soon. Talk to you next week.